And welcome now to the midday. I'm Norman Gilliland. And as promised, we'll have the quiz question, and it's a seasonal quiz question, I believe, at 12:30. And between now and then, we'll have some conversation, and Joe Morris is at hand. Welcome back to the midday.
Thanks for having me.
And Joe Morris is the razzle-dazzle principal clarinetist with the Madison Symphony. Did I get that right? The razzle-dazzle, that is part of the title.
Yes,
right?
That's officially on the programs now, yeah, razzle-dazzle.
And he's going to be performing this weekend with the Middleton Community Orchestra, the work concerto, clarinet concerto, best-known work, actually, of the English composer Gerald Finzi, and more about that in a minute. Also on the program, the boisterous Academic Festival Overture of Brahms and the Beethoven Symphony No. 7, which was just in our quiz question a couple of days ago. Gerald Finzi, you tell me Joe's the first composer whose music you actually played as a clarinetist.
Yeah, my very first clarinet teacher really introduced me to the solo clarinet rep with his five bagatelles, one of which I might treat you to a little bit later.
Oh, good.
But the clarinet concerto is also a real gem of the literature, so I'm very excited to get to perform it on Monday.
You know, Finzi is sort of a pastoral guy. He grew apples. Mm-hmm. I mean, he could afford to grow apples, that is to say. I mean, he could afford to compose on the side, too, because he was independently wealthy. And I always think of his music as being rather quiet, but then when you have a concerto, you're supposed to have something a little more rambunctious in the outer movements.
So sure.
How does this concerto stack up in your way of thinking?
Well, for me, it's kind of an interesting case for him. It definitely has that pastoral quality, especially in the second movement. But it opens with quite possibly his most boisterous writing that I've heard. And a lot of people attribute that to his experience during World War II and seeing the loss of several of his family members. But the orchestra opens with very heavily accented rhythm, and right before the clarinet enters, there's a repeated series of octave dominant notes that just come over and over again that is really not typical for him. So you do get a little bit of that kind of, you know, heavy-handed concerto writing that most people seem to expect. But the rest of it is very typically English and very typically Finzi, which is very beautiful and almost late romantic in its style, despite being a piece written in the 1940s.
Kind of introspective.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, you brought an instrument.
I did, yeah. Well, I thought I might just take us through the movements and play some excerpts here and there and talk about, you know, how they stand. So I'll play a little bit now of the first movement. The clarinet comes in with a very floating melody that kind of comes in and out, and then it leads eventually up to a nice cadenza that is reminiscent of the boisterous opening material. So
here we go. So this is from the first movement of the Finzi Clarinet Concerto, Joe Morris. first movement of Gerald Finzi's Clarinet Concerto, what, circa 1947?
I think 1946, like, I think, was the composition date, yeah. So I think, you know, you can see that it's definitely got that floating quality, but
yes,
it definitely, you know, gives some rambunctiousness to it, you know, audience-pleasing moments as well.
Yes, but he was, as you say, Joe, he was one of the composers who was, well, in that whole English tradition of Vaughan Williams and maybe even at times Holst, as opposed to going more experimental, which is
right,
so common on the continent at the time.
Exactly. Yeah, we were talking a little bit. I mean, it's the clarinet really gets a lot of great late Romantic chamber music from Brahms, but we really don't have the concerto in the same vein. And even though this was written, you know, a solid 60 years later, I feel like a lot of people see it as serving the role of a late Romantic clarinet concerto in a way.
It's possible to wear out a clarinet.
It is possible. I'm getting to the end of the lives of my two instruments.
Really?
Right now. Yeah. The, you know, longer you play it, as you know, it gets wet and you dry it again, and you know, it slowly kind of disintegrates parts of it, and you lose kind of the consistency of tone and get some intonation problems, and at a certain point you're stuck with having to find a new set. It's certainly the opposite of a violin
or
any string instrument, where, you know, the older not maybe the absolute oldest, but the instruments from the 1600s and 1700s are, you know, the most sought at of all.
Yeah.
Whereas a clarinet that's more than 15 years old is, you know, not the most useful tool to have.
So you would, your next clarinet will be a brand new one?
Yes. I'm probably in the next 2 years at the latest, I'll probably have to get a new set of an A and B flat clarinet. Yeah.
Is that the kind of thing you would be in a position to specify what you, in other words, to actually commission one, or you just go buy one off the rack?
Well, it's not exactly either of those options. Usually, there's a pretty large variance from clarinet to clarinet, but the companies that make them do a fantastic job of hand-making really high-level professional clarinets, and I play on Buffet clarinets, and so what would usually happen is I would either go to a factory or a shop or a showroom in a big city and try anywhere from 10 to 30 different clarinets over the course of the day, and you can narrow that down to maybe one or two of your favorites. And at that point, I would probably take it to people who I trust and my close, you know, mentors and colleagues, and play them for them and see what the verdict is at that point.
And do you have clarinets that you travel with as opposed to clarinets that you stay closer to home with as a string player might?
No, I've got my two clarinets and they are always with me. I pretty much never leave home without them, so they're the traveling instruments at this point.
You get into the bass clarinet and all of that too?
I play a lot of E-flat clarinet. Mm-hmm. I've done some bass, but I prefer the E-flat for whatever reason. I feel like most people end up specializing.
More of a solo instrument.
I suppose, yeah, at least in the orchestra, definitely.
Right, yeah.
But the bass clarinet, I feel like, has the contemporary repertoire that the E-flat doesn't.
It?
Yeah,
it's also got some great licks, though, even in more traditional.
Oh, absolutely.
Things, you know,
absolutely.
Cacciatore,
yeah.
And that.
Sure.
Kind of
well,
thing.
We heard some of the excellent auxiliary clarinet solos earlier this season when we did Shostakovich's Sixth Symphony with the Madison Symphony. There was a lot of E-flat and bass, you know, exposed solos that we got to hear. So, yeah.
What fun. What else about this Finzi concerto stands out for the clarinetist?
Well, I'm going to play next a little bit of some of the music from the second movement, and to me it reminds me a lot of the second movement of the Brahms Clarinet Quintet. It's got this very free and rhapsodic feeling, and the strings really kind of play more held notes, and, you know, little interjections of the thematic material, but it's really almost an extended cadenza for the clarinet that's just really takes advantage of the floating qualities of the sound, and I think it's a really beautiful, you know, I feel like it's the gem of the concerto. I feel like it's the highlight.
So this is a concerto that has a cadenza, typical concerto in that sense?
Sure, it does. It has I just played the very formal cadenza at the end of the first movement, but mm-hmm. then the second movement has some fairly traditional cadenza material as well. But the overall feel is this kind of ebb and flow and push and pull that gives the feeling of almost just like an extended cadenza-like moment.
So this will be from the, again, second from the second movement.
Thank you.
From the second movement of Gerald Finzi's Clarinet Concerto, that Joe Morris, my guest today during the midday, will be performing Monday evening, that's December 22nd, 7:30 p.m. at the Middleton Performing Arts Center with the Middleton Community Orchestra. Also on that program, Brahms Academic Festival Overture and the Beethoven Seventh. And it's kind of intriguing when you trace the, let's say, the history of the clarinet concerto. I mean, Mozart really seems to get, you know, unless you count Vivaldi. I've never been too clear on that. You see things designated as Vivaldi concertos, but Mozart really seems to have gotten the first big word.
Yeah, I mean, he is definitely attributed to that. And it's especially interesting because at the time Mozart wrote his piece, it was still kind of experimental, the instrument in general. I mean, it was actually written for a basset clarinet, right, that was extended in range and sometimes is still performed that way today. But he really started that tradition, and you can see in a great deal of the clarinet concerto repertoire an homage of some kind to Mozart. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, of course, he contributed that great quintet, too.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah.
At the same time, for chamber music players. But you get Weber, and then you get Spohr a little later in the 19th century. You get Saverio Mercadante getting you mid-century, and then it seems to thin out. I mean, you mentioned Brahms, of course, but it's right. Not like you have a lot of depth there, is it, in clarinet concertos?
Right. Well, and it seems especially at the end, later end of the 19th century, it was really seen more as a chamber music instrument. You don't see a whole lot of dedicated concertos for the clarinet until a resurgence of 20th century works like Copland and Nielsen, and, you know, more recently things as well. So, yeah.
The Nielsen is one of those pieces, which is, it's a landmark too, but you say it actually is describing the personality of the clarinetist for whom Nielsen wrote it.
Right. I had a really close relationship with that piece for a number of years. I performed it with a couple orchestras 2 years ago, and then I went to the Carl Nielsen International Clarinet Competition in his hometown of Odense, Denmark, where I spent 2 weeks and heard more about Carl Nielsen than I ever thought I would, and went visited his home and saw his museum. And yeah, it was very interesting because he wrote his woodwind quintet and was very taken by the personalities of the five wind players and promised each of them a concerto. And of course, he passed away before he wrote anything past the flute or clarinet concerti. But the clarinetist that he wrote for was known for having a very strong personality, and I mean, people have described him as anywhere from potentially schizophrenic to bipolar, but he certainly threw temper tantrums, and so the concerto is known to kind of turn audiences off because it's so aggressive, but I feel like you just have to take the extra step to understand that that was in order to reflect this clarinetist who the piece was written for.
And this is a piece that's 100 years old or more.
Yeah, almost.
So getting close, it's not as if it's like avant-garde in that sense.
But it's funny, too, to compare early 1920s piece to the Finzi concerto, which was written a solid 30 years later, and hear that it certainly doesn't sound as modern or abrasive as the Nielsen concerto does.
Do you have more Finzi?
I do. I have the third movement, which I think is a very special movement. It's really fun. It reminds me a lot of almost like a film score. It's got a very singable melody, and I think it's a great finish to the piece, and so I'll play a couple excerpts from that. Thank you.
That is a, again, a more pastoral sounding finale there.
Certainly, yes. Well, and I'll leave, there's a little bit of boisterous flying towards the finish that I'll leave to anybody who wants to come to the performance Monday evening.
Save the dramatic effect.
Exactly, yeah.
As long as I have you here, you mentioned those bagatelles.
Right. I brought the fourth movement of that, which it's originally, of course, with piano, but I feel like works a little bit with, as a solo piece almost.
Great.
So I'll play that as well.
Super. Well, again, a nice pastoral effect there in the fourth of the five bagatelles
exactly.
By Finzi.
Yeah.
Well, it'll be a good night for Finzi Monday night.
I hope so, yeah. I'm looking forward to it. It's a very nice orchestra to get to play with.
And always a pleasure to hear you play, Joe.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be on your show.